You can tell you're getting close to the Lincoln Community Health Center by the traffic jam on Fayetteville Street in Dura. This is no storefront clinic. It's more like a small Walmart at Christmas. Drivers circle the parking lot out front, waiting for a space to open up. Other patients stream in on foot. Groups of moms with strollers and toddlers, and a few older folks like Jeanette Farrington. She's leaning heavily on her cane as she moves toward the lobby doors. She's had diabetes for 34 years. She's been coming here for 20.
Well, it's all right for the ones that can't do no better. I think as people can do better, they do.
Farrington hasn't been able to do better.
I mean, you don't have all that many choices, you know. I've tried Medicaid, and I can't get that, so I'm here.
Farrington is one of 33,000 patients Lincoln served last year. Like her, most are minority, uninsured, and poor. Dr. Evelyn Schmidt has been director here since 1971, when the clinic first opened.
We saw a lot of chronic disease, more advanced than it should have been, because we were dealing with the South, and our patients, most of them at that time who were African American, did not have access for ongoing care, all right? So what you saw then was episodic handling of chronic disease, and then we're talking about diabetes and hypertension and the common chronic diseases that you see.
The clientele has changed a little. These days, it's just over half African-American and about a third Latino. But the rest of the story hasn't changed much at all. Diabetes and high blood pressure are still the top two diseases at the clinic. And for minority patients, they're still more deadly than they should be. In 2004, black North Carolinians were 2.5 times more likely than their white counterparts to die of diabetes and 1.5 times more likely to die of stroke.
It should be embarrassing to our national leaders that we have the kinds of health disparities in this country that we do.
Duke University researcher Sherman James.
The richest country in the world, and we're talking about differences in life expectancy of 6 or 7 or 8 years between major segments of the population. I mean, that really is unacceptable.
James studies health disparities at the Sanford Institute, a mile and a world away from Lincoln Clinic. His long-term research has shown that chronic health problems like hypertension and obesity go back to early childhood, and they have more to do with poverty than race. James says poor children are at risk of nutritional deficiencies, and that predisposes them to diseases that are preventable.
So we should be doing all that we possibly can do to provide vulnerable families with the resources that they need in order to minimize their risk for developing some of these deadly diseases. I think we have a societal obligation to do that.
Back at Lincoln, the Nutrition Center is the busiest place in the building. Outside the office, dozens of expectant and new mothers wait patiently for their names to be called. Inside, it's a blur of activity.
There you go. That's a big girl. 34 inches. Okay.
Kids and moms line up to be weighed and measured before they meet with the nutritionist. Clinic assistant Rosie Bautista says the nutritionist uses that information to help figure out what food vouchers each family needs. And everyone walks out with something. Today, it's bananas. Bautista says it's Director Evelyn Schmidt's idea.
Yesterday she had apples, day before yesterday she had bananas, tomorrow she might have oranges. She just likes to, since we talk about nutrition, she likes for the clients to have nutritious snacks.
Schmidt knows it's not easy for her clients to buy fresh fruit when there isn't even a supermarket in the neighborhood.
You know, you take people where they are, and you help them where they are. So you can't forget your environment. When we're talking about health, it isn't just the direct application of medical care. It's the circumstances in which you live.
Duke researcher Sherman James says there are two sides to the problem of health disparities. So far, most research has looked at access to quality health care for minority patients.
Because once people become sick, there is a moral obligation to make available to them the very best care that we can so that they do not die prematurely, you know, from those health problems. We haven't been doing that. We have simply not been doing that.
A 2002 study by the Institute of Medicine found that minority patients with chronic disease receive less aggressive medical care than their white counterparts. For example, a white cardiac patient is twice as likely as an African-American to undergo angioplasty, even if they have the same insurance. James says the medical community is taking steps to remove disparities within the healthcare system, but disparities outside the system pose an even bigger problem.
Do people have jobs? Do they have decent housing? Do they have adequate nutrition? Are their neighborhoods safe? Those living conditions make people vulnerable to the development of diseases in the first place, right? And medical care has very little to do with that.
Teasing out the roots of the disparity problem isn't as simple as crunching numbers. For example, James says, take education. A recent study says it's the most reliable indicator of health, more reliable than race or income or location. But schools in black neighborhoods generally don't perform as well as those in white neighborhoods. So you can't talk about education or income or location without talking about race. There's no single controlling factor behind health disparities, James says, and that's why healthcare providers can't solve the problem by themselves.
It's going to take the involvement of many different kinds of scientists and community leaders and public policy leaders and politicians and businessmen, community activists. It's going to take the involvement of a whole lot of people in order to take us where we want to be and where we need to be.
Leslie Brown is trying to make that happen. He's deputy director of the State Office of Minority Health and Health Disparities. Brown remembers when researchers first started tracking health disparities in North Carolina. It was just 20 years ago.
There is this realization that this is too important a matter just to be left to the healthcare delivery system and physicians and public health professions. We're seeing that engagement and that involvement, and I think that's going to be a real determinant of our ability to address these.
Progress has been slow, he says, but things are looking up. In 2006, the legislature gave his office a recurring budget of $2 million for health outreach programs in minority communities. Brown says it's a small amount of money, relatively speaking, but in terms of public policy, it's priceless. Laura Leslie, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.